Today we're going to be talking about the spurious education of God's people. Spurious means deceptive or false. Before we begin, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we study your word, we ask you to please give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and help us to have your Holy Spirit to teach us as we study today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 through 18. And I wish you would turn with me in your Bibles to a familiar story found in the second book of Kings, chapter 20, and verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember me now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David.'" 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 6. My friends, through 8 decades of life, I have come to realize that we serve a God who sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5:45. It doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, Protestant or Catholic, Republican or Democrat. We all live in one of the three possible parts of life. We either are in a storm, have just gotten out of a storm, or are getting ready to go back into a storm again. And such was the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was someone who found himself in and out of storms on a regular basis, but he never lost sight of the fact that God and God alone was in control of his life. Now, the story of Hezekiah is a powerful one. It's a story of two separate prayers interposed between two major problems. And to understand where Hezekiah was in chapter 20 of 2 Kings, we also need to understand what is going on in chapter 18. Here we see that Hezekiah was a remarkable king. In fact, after King David, he was probably the most righteous and faithful king that had ever reigned in Judah. He engaged in remarkable service for the Lord. He impacted his community as king in a tremendous way. In other words, he was probably a great representative of public affairs and religious liberty. Everyone who saw Hezekiah knew who his God was. And that should be the same with us. When people look at us, they ought to know who our God is. Now, there were many turning points in Hezekiah's life where he could have gone astray, but God always put him right back where he needed to be. Hezekiah was continually reminded that victory comes only by staying connected with God and by praying without ceasing. And through this connection, Hezekiah guarded himself and Judah against a spurious or false education of God's people. In the story we're looking at today, Hezekiah was facing immense pressure from a neighboring nation of Assyria. The Assyrian king, Sennacherib, had turned his military sights toward the strategically important kingdom of Judah. Hezekiah's first response was to place his faith in God. He understood there would always be dangers that appeared overwhelming when seen from a purely human standpoint. But, my friends, living in the will of God is about more than resting in his sovereignty or power. It is also about wrestling with your very own uncertainties and accepting that God is God all by himself. Now, this is the first point I want to share with you today. You will not be spuriously or falsely educated if you understand who God is and recognize that he sees each one of us through the lens of eternity. He doesn't see us as we are now. He doesn't even see us as he hopes we will one day be. God sees us as we will be in the final analysis with him. When we are standing at the beginning of our own life's history, there's one thing we can know for certain about the future. There will be times we will come up short with God, or don't measure up to his expectations. But we can be equally sure of something else. The grace of God will always be there. And even when we come up short, his eternal gaze will never leave us. And I praise the Lord for that. Now, Hezekiah was only 25 years old when he became king. But my son was 25 years old, and even though I love him very much, I certainly could not imagine him as a king, responsible for the well-being of a nation. But Hezekiah had even bigger problems. The foreign nations he was dealing with wanted to dictate what he should do. They wanted to exploit his lack of experience, and so they told him, "We want Judah. We want you to turn your nation over to us." My friends, when you and I are facing a tough situation, do we always look to God? Why do people sometimes look the other way and find themselves following the devil? Well, the fact is that the devil has been doing his job for a very long time. His skills at persuasion are unmatched. Just think about it. While in heaven, Satan got one-third of the heavenly angels to walk away from a living, loving God whom they had worshipped and whom they had seen face to face every day. That's what you would call the spurious or false education of the angels. And then, when the devil comes to this world and encounters Eve, he begins her spurious or false education as well. He contradicts God's instructions and urges Eve to take the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He tells her, "You shall not surely die." My friends, there are times in our lives when we allow ourselves to be spiritually educated. Do we sometimes allow our politics to shape our faith instead of allowing our faith to shape our politics? At that very moment, when we get confused and start thinking that church has something to do politically with our elected leaders, or it has something to do politically with what we should be doing at the ballot box, then that becomes a spurious or false education of God's people. Hezekiah realized that he was in a tough situation. Hezekiah knew he had no place to turn but to God, and he understood that unless his faith was strong and secure, he could not do what God had for him to do, and he would not be able to experience the power of God in his life. My brothers and sisters, each of us has the ability to reach out to our God, who is more powerful than anything you or I can ever imagine. So let us never lose sight of the fact that our God is an awesome God. Our God looks at us through eternal eyes. Our God looks out for us no matter what Satan has said. Friends, I've been to the back of the book, and I know how the story ends. Jesus wins. And when we're connected to him, when we're connected to Jesus, we win also. The devil can use all kinds of trouble. The devil can cause worries and fears, but when Jesus steps in, there is nothing that can slow him down. I like the way Daniel put it when he said, "Michael shall stand up," Daniel 12:1. When Michael stands up, there is no power on this earth, nor is there any power in heaven that can set him back down. My brothers and sisters, there is power in knowing that through prayer, everything can be changed. Look at the first prayer Hezekiah prayed. In this prayer, he declared that God would be glorified in the defeat of Sennacherib. the king of Assyria. He said, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." 2 Kings 19:19. Now the Bible tells us what happens next. Sennacherib sent 185,000 soldiers down to attack Jerusalem, and the armies of Israel were outnumbered more than 100 to 1. But the Bible says just one angel came down and in short order wiped out 185,000 trained soldiers, soldiers who had been confident they would take God's people down. Friends, it doesn't matter what our obstacles look like, and it does not matter what our circumstances may be. We serve a God who is able, and that's the next point I'd like to share with you today. We should never forget what God has done for us in the past. Sometimes we forget so quickly what great things God has done for us. You see, the devil comes to us on a regular basis and whispers to us that our God is not able. But prayer reminds us that we serve a God who is more powerful than anything that we can imagine. Now, the king of Assyria knew about the God of Hezekiah. He had even actually sent out messages to the people of Judah, telling them, "Oh, I know you have a God who says you have a land of milk and honey, but I've wiped out people who had gods before." But my friends, in the end, it was the Assyrian king himself who lost his life, for his very own children rose up and killed him. My friends, God is in charge. God will always be there for you. Don't ever forget that. And sometimes the only thing he asks you to do is to pray and then step back and wait on your miracle. I am just naive enough to believe that my God is so powerful that he is capable of performing a miracle every day in my life. And so each day I like to wake up and wonder, what will be my miracle today? Now, returning to the story of Hezekiah, he had two problems, and he needed two prayers. His first prayer dealt with the army of Assyria. His second prayer addressed something completely different, a health condition. Not only was Hezekiah sick, the Bible tells us, but he was sick to the point that the prophet told him, "Get your house in order. You're going to get ready to die." Now, I cannot imagine what that must have felt like to the king. But he had enough faith to reach out to God and say, "Lord, I need more time. Please give me another opportunity." My friends, you and I serve a God who is so powerful that he will come to us in whatever form we need. If darkness comes over your life, Jesus comes in as the light of the world. When our body is sick and racked with pain, Jesus comes to us as a great physician. He has more medicine in the hem of his robe than all the drugstores in the world. When we have spiritual pain, we serve a God who is a balm in Gilead, who can heal our soul. Even if the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, I'm not worried, because I've got my own lion. The book of Revelation calls him the Lion of Judah. The laws of nature tell me it doesn't matter how many lions show up. Only one lion gets to rule the pride, and it's my lion, King. King Jesus. They call him the Alpha and the Omega. They call him the beginning and the end. He is in charge of it all. Now, when God looks at my life, he sees no problem that's insurmountable. The spurious education of God's people is a belief that our God is not able, and the spurious or false education of God's people is also the idea that what happens on earth is actually what matters most. My brothers and sisters, what you and I need to do here on earth is really focus on just one thing. That is a day we will finally see Jesus face to face. It is not about political parties. It's not about who wants to be in charge. It doesn't matter what political party is in place. It's not even about the work we do in public affairs and religious liberty. For we know in the end that we are not going to be able to change people's minds. But your job and my job is still to remind people who our God is. Our job is to let people know we serve a God who's more powerful than anything and anyone. Our job is to let people know that if a son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, John 8:36. My friends, no president can truly set us free, and no governor can set us free, and no senator or representative can set us free. True freedom comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is nothing else that really matters. So here we have Hezekiah, understanding that he has a second problem, the sickness that will soon lead to his death. But he prays to God, saying, O Lord, remember now, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And so God responds by giving Hezekiah 15 more years of life. Now, Hezekiah can reflect on the destruction of Sennacherib and his army and be reminded of the power and faithfulness of God. God answered his prayer. God stepped in and not only granted Hezekiah 15 more years, but even granted Hezekiah something he did not specifically request: a successor. When Hezekiah was first getting ready to die, he had no heir. But at the end of the 15 years, when he finally died, Hezekiah had a 12-year-old son who would eventually be the king of Judah. My brothers and sisters, if we follow our God, there will be no spurious education in our lives. And so the final point I want to share with you is this: just because something is happening to you, it doesn't mean it is all about you. You see, God puts certain tests in our life. I have a physical every year, but my doctor never just looks at me and says, Hey, Pastor Fry, you look pretty good. See you again next year. No, he runs tests on me because it's the results of those tests that determine how I'm really doing. The doctor needs to find out what is really going on inside of me. Then he can prescribe what might be necessary. Now, the spurious or the false education of God's people is in this thought: because it's happening to me, it must be about me. My brothers and sisters, it is never about us. It is always about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never about who I am. It's always about who I am with. And if we can keep this thought in mind, it will save us a lot of confusion. Now, we may ourselves be worrying about what is going on in the world. We may have a problem with the current administration. That may just be your test. You may have had a problem with the former administration, and that may have been your test. The Bible, the bottom line is that we cannot let ourselves get caught up in the things of this world and start believing that what's happening here on this earth is more important than what God has for us in heaven. Actually, God has all kinds of blessings in store for us, but those blessings require us to keep moving forward in His name. Sometimes it's not until we get to the other side of our tests that we will experience the blessing. Hezekiah had to wait for an angel to come down and deal with the army of Assyria. Hezekiah had to wait before he had a son who would live to be king. Sometimes our blessing is waiting on the other side of our test or our trial, and therefore it's not about us, it is only about Jesus. Now, I love the fact that the Bible always lets me know that my latter days are always going to be better than my former days, and that my freedom of life is not tied to anything but my dear Savior Jesus. Now, in my day, I have seen all kinds of political administrations. I have seen Republicans, and I have seen Democrats, and can tell you this: the primary concern of all those parties is whether they will be reelected. But the fact of the matter is that I am called to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't care what administration is in place. It cannot be my Lord. It cannot be my King. I serve a God who holds the whole universe in His hands. And so that is why we don't have to be spuriously or falsely educated. The devil will throw all kinds of spears and bullets at us and anything he can use that he thinks will take us down. But our God has promised to be our protector. I love this country we call America. God set up this country, and I am someone who gets choked up when I hear the national anthem. I love hearing God Bless America. But I know that the American dream is not the Christian dream. The American dream is about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But, now listen carefully, the Christian dream is about love, faith, and the pursuit of holiness. And those two dreams, in the end, are going to be in direct conflict. And when they come into conflict, I have to make a choice, and so do you. And either I'm going to make heaven my home, or I'm going to make this earth my home. Now, I love the Statue of Liberty. At the base of that statue, there are words that say, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." My friends, those words are so powerful. Those words sound so free. But those words will never compete with, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:1-3. Now that is biblical. Now that is truth. And that will eventually make us really free. My brothers and sisters, it's time to put the spurious or false education of God's people on notice. For the devil to succeed at his spurious education, he has simply to change our thinking. And the moment our thinking has changed, the devil has won. And he can just go ahead and leave us to ourselves. But God wants us to first remember and understand that it's not about us. It is about Him. Secondly, He wants to make sure that we don't forget what He had done for us in the past. And last of all, He wants us to be secure in the knowledge that He sees us through His eternal eyes. Now, my friends, today I want to charge each of you to go out and, as a loving church family, continue to do the work of the Lord, to go out and be an impact in our community, and to understand that there is no God-given job or assignment that is beneath your anointing. Whatever God calls you to do, do it to the best of your ability. And no matter how tough things get, may we always remember that God is in charge, and that at the end of it all, we will one day gather together with Him on that sea of glass. Now in closing, may the knowledge of our wonderful Savior and His cross cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, for the light of God's love shines from the cross, reconciling and bringing us nearer to God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.